And welcome inside of this week's edition of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears, and I want to thank you for being here with us as we have been captivated by what's been taking place in Baltimore. We've been witnessing riots and looting and all kind of nasty stuff. But before we get into the program today, send us an email, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Also, you can find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Tom Sears, rewind, that's not correct, at T Sears Win Radio, T Sears Win Radio on Twitter. Also, go to blogtalkradio.com for past programs. blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. And if you'd like to send us something by mail, prayer request, comment, anything, question, you can do so by writing 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. I'm going to kick it off the program today by sharing an American Minute. And this is only a snip, a bit, a small portion of what the AmericanMinute.com have to offer, and I encourage you to check it out. It's a historical point of view that I believe will be beneficial to anyone who's curious. Okay. Also today, I'm going to talk to you about some various signs that we can see. They're news stories, actually, that you probably haven't heard. Maybe you have. I don't know. But regardless, it's signs that society in America is decaying at an accelerating rate. Like you needed evidence of that, watching what has been going on in Baltimore. So, wow. Okay, here's an American Minute to start the program. There were 10 major persecutions of Christians in the first 3 centuries, and Emperor Diocletian's was the worst. When Diocletian had lost battles in Persia, his generals told him it was because they had neglected the Roman gods. Diocletian ordered all military personnel to worship the Roman gods, thus forcing Christians either into the closet or out of the army. Now, after purging Christians from the military, Diocletian surrounded himself with public opponents of Christianity. He revoked the tolerance issued by a previous emperor and then used the military to force all of Rome to worship pagan gods. In 303 AD, Diocletian consulted the Oracle Temple of Apollo, which told him to initiate a great empire-wide persecution of the Christian church. What followed was an intolerant, hateful, and severe persecution of Christians. Diocletian had his military go systematically, province by province, arresting church leaders, burning scriptures, destroying churches, cutting out tongues, boiling Christians alive, and decapitating them. From Europe to North Africa, thousands were martyred. The faithful cried out in fervent prayer. Then Diocletian was struck with a painful intestinal disease and resigned on May 1st. 305 AD. Emperor Galerius continued the persecution, but he too was struck with the intestinal disease and died. Commenting on Roman persecutions was Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan, who was the Democrat Party's candidate for president in 1896, 1900, and 1908. In a speech that he titled The Prince of Peace, New York Times, September 7, 1913, he said this: I can imagine that the early Christians who were carried into the Colosseum to make a spectacle for those more savage than the beast were entreated by their doubting companions not to endanger their lives. But, kneeling in the center of the arena, they prayed and sang until they were devoured. He went on to say, how helpless they seemed, and measured by every human rule, how hopeless was their cause. And yet, within a few decades, the power which they invoked proved mightier than the legions of the emperor, and the faith in which they died was triumphant over all the land. They were greater conquerors in their death than they could have been had they purchased life. President Ronald Reagan commented on the Roman Colosseum at the National Prayer Breakfast, February 2, 1984. He said, "This power of prayer can be illustrated by the story that goes back to the 4th century. The monk, living in a little remote village, spending most of his time in prayer. One day, he thought he heard the voice of God telling him to go to Rome. He followed a crowd into the Colosseum, and then, there in the midst of this great crowd, he saw the gladiators come forth, stand before the emperor, and say, 'We who are about to die salute you.' He realized, we're going to fight to the death. He realized that people were going to fight to the death for the entertainment of the crowds. He cried out, this monk did, 'In the name of Christ, stop.' And his voice lost in the tumult there in the great Colosseum." Reagan continued by saying, "And as the games began, he made his way down through the crowd and climbed over the wall and dropped to the floor of the arena. Suddenly, the crowds saw this scrawny little figure making his way out to the gladiators and saying over and over again, 'In the name of Christ, stop.' And they thought it was part of the entertainment, and at first they were amused. But then, when they realized it wasn't, they grew belligerent and angry." President Reagan continued by saying, "And as he was pleading with the gladiators, 'In the name of Christ, stop,' one of them plunged his sword into his body. And as he fell to the sand of the arena in death, his last words were, 'In the name of Christ, stop.' And suddenly a strange thing happened. The gladiators stood looking at this tiny form lying in the sand. A silence fell over the Colosseum, and then, someplace up in the upper tiers, an individual made his way to an exit and left, and the others began to follow. And then the dead silence, everyone left the Colosseum. That was the last battle to the death between the gladiators and the Roman Colosseum. Never again did anyone kill or did men kill each other for the entertainment of the crowd." President Ronald Reagan ended his speech by saying, "One tiny voice that could hardly be heard above the tumult, 'In the name of Christ, stop.' It is something we could be saying to each other throughout the world today." And he concluded his speech. In the name of Christ, stop. Now, if you're like me, I was watching all these things happening in Baltimore. Cars being stolen, set on fire, CVS burning, a brand new senior citizen building burnt to the ground, a fellowship hall from a Baptist church burnt to the ground, all these things that serve the community. The individual stores that were looted, business owners who lost a lot of money. And all these things happen and are happening around America today. And somehow we think that it's okay, that it'll just work its way out, that there's no, I guess maybe what I'm trying to say is that many people believe that there is no reason for these things to be happening, and I believe there is a reason. You see, I believe that we are witnessing a decaying of morality in America. Yes, I know you can look and point and say, there's always been something going on. America have never been perfect, and to that I would say absolutely you are correct. Never have we been perfect. But we're beginning to see some changes in our country that I'm not sure we're going to be able to turn around if we're not careful. I want to share with you some news articles that are just absolutely unreal. And I found them at theendoftheamericandream.com. And the original article written by Michael Snyder was written on July the 21st, 2013. And the title of the article is 12 Signs That the Decay of Society is Accelerating. And I'm not going to read all of them because there's one particular that is just absolutely disgusting and I'm not going to share it. But I do want you to hear these various things that are happening that maybe have been unreported in the mainstream media. Maybe you didn't know. And you tell me, because these stories represent something, a pattern that's happening across our country every single day. Some of us are tucked away in nice little neat communities. Some of us are not. Some of us have experienced some of these things, and some of us have not. But they're still happening. And if they can happen over there, they can happen right here. Listen to this. Four elderly men in Houston were recently rescued from the dungeon that they were being held in. The goal of their captors was apparently to confiscate their Social Security checks and veteran benefit checks. They were found living in deplorable conditions in a Houston garage, and they told police that they were being held captive after being lured by promises of alcohol and cigarettes so that their captor could cash their public assistance checks. When police arrived at the place that they were being held, they found that the doors had literally been nailed shut. At around 8 a.m. on a Friday, a neighbor called 911 fearing there was something suspicious going on in the home. Police say when they arrived, they discovered four men living in some sort of converted garage without beds or even a restroom. One by one, the alleged captive were taken away on stretchers. They were sick, malnourished, and confused. Police say they were being held in the home against their will, possibly being held for years. One elderly man actually said that he may have been there for 10 years. The other said a few years, and the other said, I don't know how long I've been here. Society, ladies and gentlemen, is in decay. How about this one? How sick do you have to be to rape a 16-year-old girl and then throw her off of a roof? I know that this content may be a little bit on the edge, but ladies and gentlemen, these things are happening every single day. Police arrested one man, and they were searching for a second man after they had allegedly lured a 16-year-old girl to a Brooklyn roof. They raped her and then threw her off the roof. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who you are or where you've been, you can say, yes, things like this have happened, but they're happening all of the time. Why? There has to be a reason. See, in America, what we're wanting is freedom from religion. In America, what we're asking for, what we're pursuing, what we're seeking is that we no longer, and it's not really freedom from religion, everyone just wants to get away from Christianity. But with that being said, in the name of Christ, stop. Just like that monk declared. He is our answer. You go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to when crosses were constructed, planted in the sand, and societies were beginning to be formed and developed, and morality was in the homes, and morality was what ruled over the cities, and the best teacher of that morality was the Holy Bible. But in America today, we have people that say, don't force feed me your religion. And I'm fine with that. First, let me say that. I'm fine. People, they choose what they want to do. They choose how they want to live. And I'm an advocate of that. But see, the problem is that what America was established upon, a moral society, which our founding fathers constantly warned us that if we ever neglected it, our Constitution itself could not stand. It was not strong without that strong foundation. And so families are in decay, and you can say, well, it is what it is. No, what it is is that we are no longer teaching our children moral values. We are teaching them, we are leading by example, because we have no morality in some cases. They're not going to have morality. I don't care what you say. Society was better when families gathered around the table and said a prayer. Society was better when teachers of strong moral character stood in the classrooms and taught children how to be adults. I don't care what you say. Things have changed. And yes, there's always been crime. And yes, there's always been someone that has done something evil. And evil has always been present. But now we no longer welcome morality. We welcome evil, because when you kick morality out the door, evil is going to take its place. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, your morality, we're not saying that we don't want morality. Where is morality taught? If you don't believe in something as a foundation, where do you get your morality from? Is it just naturally in you? Let me tell you what's naturally in me. You can speak for yourself. I'll speak for me. What's naturally in me is a sinful nature. What's naturally in me is a nature to do things I should not do. That's what's in me. What holds that nature back? What keeps that nature from taking over in my life? It is Jehovah and His Word, His precious Son, Jesus Christ. That's what has changed me. That's what has made society great. We are no longer following the foundation. We are no longer following in the words of the Holy Bible. We are no longer following God's ways. And because of that, and I'm not, Pat Robertson, I'm not going to back down from this. Because of this, because we no longer follow in those ways, we are seeing what we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen. We are a society today that is so afraid to offend someone that everyone walks around on eggshells. Now, I'm not about offending people. I'm not about calling people out and calling them names. And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that black is black and white is white. Let's quit calling it gray. Let's, right is right and wrong is wrong. Let our yeses be yes and our noes be no. We used to be a society like that. A handshake was good enough because we had moral integrity. A handshake was good enough. Now you got to sign 25-page documents and contracts because something has happened. In America years ago, we've all heard the story of our grandparents and even some of our parents who said, when I went to bed, we left our windows open. We had our doors unlocked. We didn't fear that our neighbor was going to come in and steal something or try to hurt us in the middle of the night. Ladies and gentlemen, turn on your television. Watch some of these crime television shows and see what's happening across America. Turn it on your local news media. There's always crime going on. And here's what troubles me, is that now it is so, we have seen it so many times, it's a way of life, and it's normal, and it's natural, and it's just another news article. We read our newspapers, and we watch our television shows, and we see the news, and it just doesn't faze us anymore. Where years ago, when something like this happened, it was shocking. It troubled us. We cannot believe what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, it's happened so much anymore that it's just not even a second thought. Do you see that there's been a decay? Do you see that there's been something that has happened? In New York City, according to the New York Daily News, a 50-year-old Brooklyn man got much more than he was bargaining for when he was lured to the roof of a 4-story building for promises I'll leave off the radio today. And the next thing he knows, he was robbed, he was maced, and he fell to his death. Again, happening all the time in America. According to CNN, there's a company called Paladin Deception Services that you can actually hire to tell lies for you. Timothy Green, a 59-year-old former private detective, claims to run a company in Forest Lake, Minnesota that will lie to anyone about anything. You can get this service for $54 a month. He says that customers have all forms of lies they want to tell. They want to cheat on their spouse. They need alibis for work. He said, but the real demand comes from job seekers. These job seekers making up more than 60% of what he says are his 250 to 300 monthly clients. So basically, they forward this information to this lying service, and they get a better job, meaning they get better pay, which means it's all a lie. Maybe lying about education, maybe lying about previous employment. I mean, really? We now have services. There are services in America where you can cheat on your spouse. There are services in America that will lie, give you alibis, give you all these different things, and somehow we lay down at night and think it's okay. It's unbelievable to me. Absolutely unbelievable to me. This is the way society, you can't tell me that this is the way it's supposed to be. How do we fix it? We got to go back to the old paths, ladies and gentlemen. If it hasn't always been this way, but it is this way now, common sense tells me something changed. What is it that has changed? We have become more of a secular nation. We have removed God from the classroom and from politics and from the public arena, and we have kicked him to the side like he doesn't matter. When we put him first, this country was first. Now look at us in decline. We're in debt. Debt that we may not ever be able to get away from. We have crime that is the biggest numbers as far as statistically around the world. Our education system, which was once number one in the world, is now in decline. Ladies and gentlemen, something happened. Common sense tells me something changed. What was it that changed? I'll tell you what changed. Don't force feed me your religion. I don't need that garbage. I don't need that in my life. And the very basis of that attitude, that rebellion, that attitude, that spirit of rebellion is what has brought us to this place. I will make no apologies for my words today. I believe this with all of my heart. I am a firm believer that every person has a right to live and to choose what they want to choose and to do what they want to do as long as it does not affect someone else or harm someone else, I should say. I believe that with all of my heart. If my neighbors want to do what they want to do, as long as they're not committing a crime or hurting someone or harming children, let them do what they're going to do. I believe that. I'm a firm believer in it. And you say, well, there you go. We shouldn't recognize God and Christianity. You don't understand. You don't understand. America was founded on God and Christianity. Our founding fathers said so. That's why there's a move to remove American history previous to the Civil War. If we don't teach them, they won't know. Churches now, even churches are running around trying to be men pleasers rather than God pleasers. And Paul the Apostle said that if you try to please men, you can't please God. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this, I'm a little riled up about this, but I'm passionate about it today and every day. Something has changed. Common sense tells me something has changed. And if something has changed, we should go back and find out what we were doing before that made us successful. I challenge you. What was it? What is it? What has changed? What made us great? Was it the spirit of American ingenuity? See, America didn't get here on her own. America had a lot of help. We had a lot of help. There's no other ways to explain the miracles of the Revolutionary War. Outnumbered, outmatched, yet victorious. I've often told people that I believe the story of the American Revolution could actually be, it's so similar to the stories we hear about in the Bible, the stories of Gideon, or the stories of Hezekiah, where he looked out and he's seen the king of Assyria standing there, Sennacherib, and he says, oh boy, there's a bunch of them. And God said, don't fear, because there's more with you than with them. That monk that went into the Colosseum and said, in the name of Christ, stop. It took his death. But it ended. See, ladies and gentlemen, I believe in a God that can do anything. I fear for the future of this country. I fear. It's not natural. It's not normal what's happening here. What are we going to do? As I said earlier in this program, America has never been perfect. And as Christians, if we think we're perfect, we are wrong. And even as a pastor, I tell people, don't take my word for it. And I will give you that same advice today. Don't just listen to me and say, yep, he's right. I'm not the gospel. I'm not the gospel. Far from it. Don't take my word for it. What I encourage you to do is what I have done. I have educated myself. I have looked at the issues. I have studied the issues. I have looked back into American history. I've looked at the congressional record. I've looked at the words and the writings and the diaries and the journals of our founding fathers. And what I have found is that it was very, very clear that they believed they were constructing a nation that must be founded on the Bible and the Christian faith. And if it was removed, well, bad things would start happening. Ladies and gentlemen, we still have time. We have time to make a difference in someone's life. And I'm going to challenge each and every one of you today. If you have a family with small children, start instructing them about the good things of life and the good things of God. Teach them right from wrong. Because we are creating a society. Thank God for that woman that just about half beat her son to death on national television, where she said, you're not going to be out here doing this stuff. And I listened to an interview later, and I'm talking about the situation in Baltimore. I listened to an interview with her later. She doesn't agree with all the cops or all the politicians, but yet she didn't think it was right to go out there and bust buildings' windows and set things on fire and steal things. She understood. And let me tell you something else. Let's go ahead and make this clear. Those people that were doing those things, they were not protesters. They were criminals. Protesters don't do those things. That is not exercising your constitutional right to protest. That is not a protest. That is a crime. But that mom, she said, you know what? She said, you're not going to be out here doing this thing. Thank God for mothers like that and fathers like that who will stand up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to challenge you. Do that in the lives of your children and those you come into contact with. I'm out of time. I had more signs of decay and, well, never got there. With that being said, if you'd like to email us, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Check us out at blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. I need more time. Half hour flies by. With that being said, fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter, and it is important now. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you next week. God bless.